Hello, this is Elodie Reed, digital producer for Vermont Public Radio. This podcast has been edited for brevity and clarity. Yay!
The spiny soft-shell turtle isn't an endangered species, but populations near Lake Champlain have struggled in the last few decades. VPR's Connor Cyrus talked with Tony Mikola at the Vermont Fish and Wildlife Department about a project that's trying to get these turtles, who are known for their distinct features, back to stable numbers.
We're talking about the spiny soft shell turtles. How would you describe what they look like to people at home that maybe have never seen them?
The spiny soft shell is very different from our other turtle species and very different from what people usually think of as being a turtle. I always describe them as breaking all the turtle rules. Because of their name, a soft shell doesn't have a hard, bony shell like most other turtles. It's more cartilaginous and somewhat flexible. They're very flat, which makes them streamlined. They're very fast, even on land. I think one on land could probably outrun me. And also on their head, they have a pointy nose, almost like a short elephant trunk. It helps them to kind of probe for food in the muck and the vegetation.
It's funny because one of my colleagues described the baby softshell turtles as looking at like silver dollars and the adults looking like plates. Is that something that you would describe as accurate?
They're about the size of a silver dollar when they first hatch. And their shell is quite round. I guess if you imagine a dirty silver dollar with a head and legs, I guess I can kind of see the resemblance there.
So my question is, you know, these have been a threatened species in Vermont since 1987. What is it about this particular turtle that got put on that list? Like, was it man-made, or can you just describe a little bit about how that happened?
Sure. So all turtles have a very slow rate of reproduction. Well, it takes a female softshell turtle about 11 years to reach breeding age. So she has to survive that long before she can even have any hope of replacing herself in the population. And they also have, once they actually do start to lay eggs and try to produce young, they have a very high rate of failure. So these turtles, they're entirely aquatic, but they do have to lay their eggs on land. And spiny softshells in Vermont are limited to just the northern part of Lake Champlain. So their options for nesting habitat are pretty much the shoreline on the northeast quadrant of the lake. And they require undisturbed shoreline. So that means, you know, it can't have a seawall or a dock or anything else. And obviously a lot of the lakeshore has been developed in the last 150 years or so as people build their summer camps and marinas and other infrastructure like that. So these turtles are finding fewer and fewer undisturbed shorelines where they can lay their eggs. And then, you know, now that you've finally found a place to nest, once your eggs are laid, then there's also the threat of them being eaten by a predator. So animals like raccoons and skunks and possums, they love turtle eggs. And so with the turtles, they're having to have to be concentrated on the few remaining available beaches. And that means it's a smorgasbord for any raccoon that happens to find that nesting site. They can dig up and destroy and eat dozens of nests in a single night.
And so because they're soft shells, like, what are their defenses in terms of being able to defend against these predators, if they have any? Because, you know, when we think of turtles, we think of the hard shell ones that obviously have the hard shells to be able to defend against other predators. But what do the soft shell turtles have?
Yep. So when they're young, soft shells have camouflage. Their shell is, you know, brownish tan with some spots on it. And they like to bury themselves in the sediment or the shale at the bottom of the lake. And when they do that, they leave just their shell exposed and they look just like a pebble. And I've had you know, tubs of them when I keep them to try and get them ready to be released into the wild. I'll put them in a little tub with, you know, about an inch of water and some shale. They'll bury themselves down in that shale. And even though I know they're in there, I can't find them because they're so well camouflaged. And as I mentioned, the adults are very speedy. They're actually incredibly fast on the land and in the water. So that's their main defense, camouflage. And actually, you wouldn't think of this for a turtle, but swiftness.
Interesting. And so, So I'm curious, you know, I'm reading all about, you know, the studies that Fish and Wildlife has done, yourself include, you know, you yourself being a part of that. In these studies, what are you actually studying in terms of trying to get them as far away from the endangered list as possible?
So we are trying to boost those reproduction numbers. And I mentioned already, you know, how much danger they're in. Even once the eggs are laid, they're at extreme danger of predation. And so that's where we come in. We basically know the few nesting sites that they have in the state, and we try to manage the predator abundance there. We put up fencing. We put down kind of a wire mesh on the stones after the nests have been laid to discourage digging.
And how successful has this program been, given that, you know, it's been around for, I think, 20 years?
Yeah, and it actually appears to be working. We've seen, you know, a general increase in the number of successful nests in the last 20 years. And I think, you know, the first 3 years that the project was going on, you know, we had like less than 20 successful nests every year. Now, you know, it can be upwards of 80, or we've even had close to 100 one time.
So I'm curious, with all of this new, or not new, but with all of this intervention that's happening, human intervention with these turtles, can they survive on their own, or is this something that's going to have to be done for, you know, the rest of time?
So our goal is to boost the adult population above a certain number so that they wouldn't need this kind of help anymore. Whether they'll be able to sustain that number without intervention is, you know, yet to be seen. Their primary threats are when they're still an egg or when they're very young. The small ones, you know, they can be prey for even a bullfrog or a big fish when they're that small. It's yet to be seen, you know, whether we'll be able to, you know, keep their numbers up without this kind of active intervention. One of the main threats is just the abundance of the predators that we have on the landscape right now. Our primary predator animal by far is the raccoon. And raccoons have seen their numbers basically explode in this state in the last 150 years because they actually thrive in the presence of humans because they're so they're generalists, so they're very adaptable to changes in habitat, and they love to eat people's garbage.
So what can people at home who are listening to this show right now, what can they do to help the spiny softshell turtles?
Probably the simplest thing that anybody could do to help is to keep the beaches clean. You know, mind your garbage pails, don't litter, even things like apple cores or banana peels that, you know, you might think, oh, it's biodegradable. It's not a big deal if I chuck it in the woods. But you know, it can become food and support populations of, animals like raccoons that might be detrimental to other species. So, you know, dispose of your garbage properly, guard your garbage from, trash robbers. And also, you know, if you own beachfront property, you know, you can make it turtle friendly. You could, you know, if you have bushes right against the water, or you could remove those, or if you have sand or shale, clean off the driftwood. It makes it a nice, tempting place for a female turtle to come up and lay her eggs.
Tony Minkula is a specialist with the Vermont Fish and Wildlife Department. You can learn more about the Vermont Eastern Spiny Soft Shell Recovery Plan on our website, vpr.org.